going on? It's your boy Monty Cliff coming to you live from the apartment off Riverway, Boston, Massachusetts. It is the Monday after WrestleMania, a very successful WrestleMania, more than Mania, Supercard of Honor weekend, if I do say so myself. Takeover did not disappoint by any means. That was a fantastic show. WrestleMania didn't disappoint mostly either, though it was incredibly long. It was way too long, man. That was tough to get through, especially with the tag title segment and Brock and Roman closing it out. Just two absolutely bogus segments. But aside from that, it was a really great show. I won't cover that here. There's plenty of other podcasts doing that. We're doing things original over here. No WWE, really. So let's get down to it. We are covering Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor 12 today. And that was from Saturday, April 7th, down in New Orleans. So we'll get right down to it. We're going to start with the two pre-show matches. Yeah, I watched everything relating to Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor. I was super psyched for this show, so I've got everything covered here. It was about 5 hours of wrestling total, so we're going to condense that down for you into hopefully less than an hour here. So the first pre-show match, Women of Honor Championship Tournament semifinal match, Kelly Klein taking on Mayu Iwatani. So you can watch these matches, the two pre-show matches, on ROH's Facebook for free. Of course, everything else you can catch streaming live on Honor Club. Learn more about that over at Ring of Honor's website. Definitely worth checking out. So Kelly Klein and Mayu Iwatani, both these women have been on a roll in this tournament with statement wins on their way to this semifinal matchup. Klein is definitely the powerhouse of the Women of Honor division when Mayu Iwatani is an incredibly decorated competitor over in Stardom, so this match should be good. Kelly Klein's out here first. She's never been pinned or submitted in Ring of Honor. Will this change here or in this tournament in general? We'll find out. Mayu Iwatani out next. She's donning a mask. She looks energized and ready to go with the crowd behind her. Of course, she removes the match before, or excuse me, the mask before her matchup. These two open the match, just kind of grappling. Klein's more aggressive here, as kind of assumed. Klein hits a huge running big boot that forcefully shoves Mayu Iwatani down to the ground, and Mayu's selling wonderfully in this match. Kelly is looking incredibly dominant to start. Mayu fights back with some stiff strikes, though. Top rope Frankensteiner from Mayu Iwatani as well. That looked great. It was executed very, very well. Mayu then hits a great super kick, top rope, double foot stomp, and then follows that up immediately with a frog splash from the top. But Kelly Klein still manages to kick out. Great resilience here from Klein. After some nice exchanges, Klein locks in the guillotine choke, and Mayu gets choked out. No response to referee Todd Sinclair's check. Match is over. Kelly Klein gets a massive win over a huge female wrestling star. Klein advances to the tournament final on the main show later. This was a really strong match between these two. Kelly was able to kind of showcase her strength. Iwatani sold really well, had great resilience, but just couldn't pick up the win. Kind of surprised here. I did expect Mayu Iwatani to go on to the final to take on Tennille Dashwood, but we're seeing Kelly Klein here, and then we'll get to the next match straight away. Women of Honor Championship semifinal match as well. Sumi Sakai versus Tennille Dashwood. Winner will face Kelly Klein later on in the card. Sumi Sakai is out first here. She's had a nice run in this tournament. Maybe a little surprised that she's made it this far, but can she get past Tennille Dashwood? This should be a tough one. Tennille's out next, looking very confident, per usual. She's had a really nice career resurgence since leaving the WWE, and Ring of Honor is booking her very well. Dashwood goes for a quick pin to open up, but only a two count. Sakai goes for one as well, no dice. Dashwood hits a diving crossbody from the top turnbuckle onto Sakai on the outside of the ring. An awesome crowd-energizing move there. Definitely got the crowd more into the match. Back in the ring, Sumi is grinding down Tennille with submissions and strikes. And then Tennille hits a really nice sit-out powerbomb. Long two count. No victory here. Sumi hits her finishing move, Smash Mouse. Not enough, though, as Tennille manages to kick out. There are so many near falls in this match. Definitely gets the crowd into it. It's really great action. Tennille misses the spotlight kick. Sumi counters that into a roll-up. It's deep enough for the three count. I think this is a huge upset here. I really expected Tennille to win this whole tournament, so I was shocked by this. Obviously, Sumi Sakai is very deserving, and she'll take on Kelly Klein on the main card. But man, oh man, did I really think Tennille was going to go all the way. This match was a very strong showing as well. Sakai took quite a beating here. Wonder how much she'll have left for her match later tonight. Post-match, we get a square-off between Klein and Sakai, showing off the belt as well. Klein and Sakai eventually shake hands, but then Kai hits her with a forearm, sending Sakai to the canvas. Makes a great statement here. Gets some heel heat going into the final later on tonight. So we're on to the main card now. Chuck E. T. versus Jonathan Gresham is our opening match. This should be a solid match to open up the card here. Chuck E. T.'s out first with Beretta by his side. Of course, Beretta's been injured. The crowd loves the best friends gimmick, so they get a huge pop as they make their entrance. Gresham's out second. He looks focused right to the ring. He had a knee injury last month, but he's been cleared to compete. Colt on commentary pointing out that both of these guys are very underrated, and that's definitely the truth. Both are great ring veterans that don't get enough credit, I think. Chuck has the size advantage here, hitting some nice backbreakers on Gresham, utilizing that power. Gresham hits a great springboard head scissors takeover, definitely has a speed and athleticism advantage here. As a lot of wrestlers and fans noted on Twitter, the Louisiana Athletic Committee had a bunch of ridiculous rules for wrestlers this weekend. So one person being affected here by those rules is Chuck E. T., whose finisher is that awful waffle pile driver. Of course, no pile drivers allowed here in Louisiana, so how will he compensate going forward? So to do that, Chuck E. hits a nice Falcon Arrow, but only gets the two count, not enough. Gresham goes on a bit of a roll, big springboard DDT, two count. Goes for a leg lock, but Chuck manages to roll him through with a counter, three count on a deep inside cradle roll-up. Chuck E. T. gets the win tonight at Supercard of Honor. What a great opening match. Nothing at stake here between the two, just very solid wrestling, looking to get a win under their belt going forward, and I think the crowd's energized after that one. Next up, we've got Punishment Martinez versus Tomohiro Ishii. This one's going to be aggressive, guys. Both of these men are incredibly hard-hitting. So before the match, we get a scene of Colt and Ian on commentary, and then some painted character comes up behind them. It's very strange. He's muttering some very strange things. We haven't seen him before, and Ian and Colt don't quite know how to react. Punishment Martinez is out first, and his entrance video is absolutely frightening. He exits out of an upright coffin wearing a mask, definitely making a very intimidating statement here at Supercard of Honor. Tomohiro Ishii's out next. Huge pop from the crowd. They're excited to see this New Japan legend. Ishii's also a former ROH TV champion. They square off right in the middle of the ring, exchanging forearms, these two definitely testing each other's strength. Ishii showing great resilience, having trouble getting Martinez off his feet, but he finally hits a nice stalling suplex on the bigger man. Martinez hits a running splash over that top turnbuckle to Ishii on the outside. He overshoots it a little bit, but he's right back up. He then gets right back in the ring and hits this nice springboard tope cone hilo to the outside onto Ishii. Huge sequence from the incredibly athletic big man that is Punishment Martinez. Martinez hits a top rope Frankensteiner on Ishii as well, but only gets the two count as Ishii really barely kicks out here. Martinez is having an unreal showing in this match. Ishii hits a nice stalling suplex off the second rope, but only gets a two count. Martinez isn't ready to quit. Two massive head kicks from Martinez, South of Heaven chokeslam, and a three count victory. This match definitely surpassed my expectations. I expected it to be really solid, but this was damn good action. Punishment Martinez is having a huge showing lately. He's got that Survival of the Fittest title shot under his belt as well, and then this huge win over the current Rev Pro champion, and then a former never openweight champ, Tomohiro Ishii. Great stuff from Martinez, and Ishii did not disappoint either. Very resilient, aggressive here with his stiff strikes. It was really great to watch. But we'll continue moving forward here. Next up is this match. This one, to me, is the highlight of the night, I think. It's Hangman Page versus Kota Ibushi. So this one's a main event on most cards, as I said in the preview show, and we're seeing it here pretty early. So this one might steal the show. In hindsight, I definitely think it did, but let's cover it first before we discuss. Hangman Page is out first to the Bullet Club intro and a pop from the crowd. Coach is out second to a massive cheer as well. The crowd is definitely excited for this one, as was I. No Code of Honor handshake here to open this one up. I think that's a nice touch for the storytelling aspect here. The back and forth exchanges are very up-tempo to start. These two showing why they are so great at what they do, giving the fans something to really pay close attention to. Adam Page gets the upper hand first here, muscling Ibushi around. Page getting some boos from the crowd here as well, despite being part of the Bullet Club, which normally garners some favor from the Ring of Honor fans. Ibushi fights back in quite a quick strike combo. Kick to Page on his knees and then a standing moonsault, two count only, not enough to put Page away yet early in the match, but a momentum swing nonetheless as the crowd begins to really rally behind Kota Ibushi. On the outside, Hangman tosses Ibushi into the barricade, goes to climb up the barricade to jump off of it, but Ibushi hops up and then hits this massive snap German suplex off the barricade. Ibushi follows that up with an incredible moonsault off the turnbuckle to Page on the outside. It was absolutely picture perfect, as Kota Ibushi's moonsault is known to be. But Page follows that up with a buckshot lariat, only gets a two count, couldn't quite finish Kota Ibushi off. The two men are exchanging incredibly stiff shots. Chops, forearms, slaps, all in the ring. This is unreal. They are both relentless. Golden Star powerbomb from Ibushi. Long two count as Adam Page hardly kicks out. Straight jacket German with a bridge and another long two count. Cote then hits the golden knee and gets the three count in what is an absolutely incredible contest. This very well was, I think, the match of the night. Definitely a contender for match of the weekend as well, based on the action I've seen thus far. It's an unreal showing between these two, a must-see match for every wrestling fan. Page is unable to get a win here over the man who he claims is causing a big rift in Bullet Club, and Ibushi vanquishes a member of the Bullet Club here. Just all I can say really about this one is, wow. So we'll keep it going. We are getting the Women of Honor Championship Tournament Final here as Kelly Klein takes on Sumi Sakai. Both of these women had great showings in the pre-show matches. They'll square off now for the right to become the inaugural WOH champion. Klein's out first. They are really highlighting her never being pinned or submitted. Are we about to see this come to an end? Sumi Sakai is out next. She's not intimidated as she goes straight after Klein, attacking before the bell. No opening ceremony here. Sakai wants to get her hands on Klein. Do want to note real quick again, Sumi Sakai took quite the beating in her opening match, so we'll see if she's fatigued at all here. Klein manages to come back with a huge German suplex, showcasing her big size advantage over Sumi Sakai. Klein looks very confident, unfazed by that early attack from Sakai. Klein tried going for a fallaway slam from the second rope, but Sakai counters that for a bit of a schoolgirl roll-up slam. Swinging neckbreaker on Klein to follow, no pin attempt. Kelly counters a wheelbarrow into a German suplex. A lot of other women competitors are now surrounding the ring coming down from the entrance ramp, and they're slapping the mat, really showing how important this match is to all of the women who are involved. Fisherwoman Brainbuster from Sumi, no pin attempt though. She instead goes for a moonsault, overshoots it, and a struggle back and forth ensues from that. Sakai spikes Kelly Klein with a DDT for the three count. It was a little bit of an anticlimactic ending, but a strong match nonetheless. And this is a really surprise winner here, in my opinion. I thought Sumi Sakai was out of the four. Was probably the least likely in my mind to win. So this was pretty awesome to see. Ring of Honor definitely shaking things up, giving fans something that I don't think most people expected. So that's awesome. So Sumi Sakai is the first Women of Honor champion. First pinfall loss for Kelly Klein as well. Brings an end to the streak. A lot of streaks coming to an end here this past weekend. You saw Asuka's streak come to an end as well. So the very emotional win for Sakai. I thought we were going to quick cut to the next match, but then Ring of Honor production staff brings it back to the ring, and they let Sakai have her moment, which I thought was a really nice touch. A six-man championship ladder match follows this. So you've got the champions, SoCal Uncensored, defending against the Young Bucks and Flip Gordon. Now, obviously, there's a long feud here between SoCal Uncensored and the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks with Hangman Page were the six-man champs for a long time, but they lost those belts to SoCal Uncensored at the anniversary show. Young Bucks and Flip have developed a little bit of a friendship here over the last few months. They're getting a title shot now, trying to get the Young Bucks some redemption tonight. Shane Taylor joins Ian and Colt on commentary. He's been aligned with SoCal Uncensored at various points. He's kind of a hitman for hire, takes money from whoever is willing to give it. And he's assuring Ian, though, that he will not be getting involved physically in this match. Flip Gordon's out first. He's going to shine in this ladder match. I think this match type really favors his strengths. So you're going to see a nice showing here from Flip. Young Bucks out to a massive applause and cheer from the crowd. Tons of streamers as these two enter the ring. The crowd is firmly behind them in this one. SoCal Uncensored, the champions out now. Much less of a reaction for these men. They are not well-liked by the crowd, that is for sure. Chaos to start, obviously, all six men going at it here. Doesn't take long for a ladder to be introduced either. Scorpio Sky on the outside grabs one and flips, hits an avalanche dropkick into the ladder and Scorpio on the outside. A lot of dives to open this match, just high octane action to get the crowd hyped right at the start. Scorpio was the first to try and climb a ladder in the ring, but he's halted by the Bucks. Some action on the ladder between Matt Jackson and Daniels, then Nick Jackson and Daniels, and then Scorpio and Nick. It's just great stuff here. This match is so fast-paced, it's almost hard to keep up, and Ian and Colt are even having a hard time on commentary. Kazarian hits a huge TKO on Gordon from the top of the ladder. That was definitely a wow moment. I don't want to do too much play-by-play here. There's just so many great spots that it's just I don't want to call them all out. It would just take too much time. There's a trio set of super kicks to a kneeled Kazarian who has a ladder over his shoulders as well. That was a nice spot. Flip and the Bucks are very much on the same page in this match. Flip goes on a roll here, taking it to Kazarian, then a tope cone hilo to the outside on Scorpio as well. Matt Jackson, though, is starting to show signs of wear and tear. Of course, he's nursing that lower back injury. Nick and Matt hit a cease and desist on Scorpio Sky through the ladder here. He taps, but that certainly won't release the hold in a ladder match. Daniels eventually comes in with a ladder to break it up. And just as the Bucks are finally about to grab the belt, the Kingdom comes out and attacks them. Rockstar Supernova on Flip from the Kingdom. They're pissed, pretending to help SoCal Uncensored before attacking them as well. They are livid that they are not in this match, that Bully Ray stripped them of the opportunity. TK O'Ryan climbs a ladder to go for the title in a match that he isn't even a part of. So SoCal Uncensored and the Young Bucks team together briefly to toss him out of the ring onto the rest of the Kingdom on the outside. Young Bucks trade moves with Scorpio and Kazarian in the ring now. Flip was about to grab the title, but he has a very nasty fall from the top of it. But he eventually gets back up, which was good to see. Kazarian and Matt Jackson trying to grab the belt. The Young Bucks knock the Addiction off the ladders, but still no winner yet. Tables are finally introduced into this match as well. They're set up on the outside of the ring. Flip and Nick hit stereo 450 splashes to men on the tables on the outside. That was definitely a highlight spot, I thought, from the knife. The gifs of those going around on the internet. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen them already. Matt Jackson is about to grab the title inside the ring when Daniels tips the ladder over. Jackson hops off the ladder last second and hits an elbow drop onto Vinny Marseglia of the Kingdom, who's laid on that table on the outside. This gives Daniels the opportunity to climb the ladder. He grabs the belt. SoCal Uncensored retains in this absolutely awesome match. The Kingdom attack Daniels post-match and steal the belts as they leave the arena. A great match here. If you enjoy fast-paced action with big spots, then this match is definitely for you. I was blown away by this one. Great storytelling with Flip and the Bucks teaming up, the Kingdom interfering. There's just tons of great stuff. This is definitely not the last we'll see of SoCal Uncensored, the Kingdom and the Young Bucks, Flip or whoever their partner is going at it. I kind of expected Shane Taylor to get involved, but he doesn't. Didn't really offer anything on commentary, so I'm not really sure what the point of having him join in was. But aside from that, this match was fantastic. So many cool moments. Definitely worth checking out. Okay, so the next match is the intermission match. It's from earlier in the night, so it's just being shown here now. It's going to be the Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonez versus Motor City Machine Guns versus Luke and PJ Hawks in a triple threat tag match. So Bruiser and Malonez out first. Like I said in the last podcast, I'm not a big fan of these guys. They have that sloppy barroom brawlers gimmick, bigger guys. We'll see how they work here. Definitely not two of my favorite top guys in Ring of Honor. Motor City Machine Guns out next, and the complete opposite here. They're my favorite tag team in wrestling, former ROH tag champs. Of course, they're looking confident. We'll see how they fare, hoping to get back in the win column after losing those belts to the Briscoes. Luke Hawks and PJ Hawks out next. This is actually PJ's fifth professional match, just 19 years old, teaming up with his old man, Luke Hawks. He's a veteran of Ring of Honor. Shelly and PJ started out great chain wrestling between the two. Shelly, of course, is a great student of wrestling, practicing all sorts of styles, very knowledgeable about the sport if you ever hear him talk. PJ is an amateur wrestler focusing on Greco-Roman wrestling. Bruiser comes in eventually and takes out everyone on the apron. The two big men are now beating up the 19-year-old in the ring. He kicks out, though. No finish yet. Luke Hawks eventually gets a hot tag, taking out the Bruiser and Malonez, but Malonez hits a superplex on PJ when he's tagged back in, and then they followed that up with a frog splash from Bruiser. Three count, Beer City Bruiser and Brian and Malonez pick up the win. Decent match here. Understand why it was an earlier contest and kind of relegated to the intermission segment. Nothing too exciting here, unfortunately. Obviously, I would have liked to have seen the Machine Guns get a win and get back on track, but it looks like Malonez and Beer City Bruiser might be getting a little bit of a push going forward here, so we'll see. Ian was talking about a number one contenders match on one of the ROH TV episodes coming up, so we'll cover that when that happens. Next up, after intermission, we've got the Ring of Honor tag titles, the Briscoes, the champions, defending against Hiroshi Tanahashi and Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's out first here. He's looking confident. The longest reigning TV champ in Ring of Honor history, of course, back when he held that title. He's looking to capture the tag titles now. Tanahashi out second. The audience is very excited to see him. He's incredibly decorated in New Japan. He's won tag titles over there. Can he win them here tonight? Briscoes out last with the belts. They've been on a tear since turning on Bully Ray. They're one of the best ROH tag teams of all time, obviously. So I think this is a bit of a dream matchup here, I would say. Lethal and Jay starting us off. Fast start. We've seen these two square off plenty of times, and it is always a treat. Tanahashi into the match with Mark Briscoe. The team of Tanahashi and Lethal now taking it to Mark, working well as a team here, able to separate Mark from his corner. The Briscoes eventually take back momentum. Jay Briscoe with some great banter outside of the ring, and then the Briscoes are firing on all cylinders. They just always know where each other is at. They follow each other's movements. They just work together masterfully. When Tanahashi and Lethal have control, it's slowed down a bit, more methodical, definitely controlling the tempo of the Briscoes, not letting them find their groove. Briscoes, though, regain control again and are dominating Tanahashi before he hits a huge sling blade onto Mark Briscoe and gets that hot tag into Jay Lethal. Lethal has Jay Briscoe in a figure four, but Tanahashi's going up for that high fly flow, trying to land it on Jay Briscoe, but Mark brings him down. Froggy Bow onto Lethal instead to save the match for the Briscoes. Lethal injection on Mark Briscoe, two count only. Crowd really thought that he had it as they chant. That was three. I was surprised to see a kick out there. Not that I've expected the titles to change hands here, but very few people kick out of Jay Lethal's lethal injection. Eventually, there's a doomsday device on Jay Lethal, three count. The Briscoes retain in a great match. The match definitely picked up in the second half. The first half was so-so, but once it got going, it was great. Great showing from Lethal and Tanahashi. They just couldn't seem to keep the Briscoes down. It's definitely hard to match the tag teaming prowess of the Briscoes, I would say. No one teams like they do. Overall, this match didn't disappoint. Kind of expected the champions to retain. Overall, definitely fun. But we'll move on here. Ring of Honor TV title. Last man standing match. Kenny King defending the title versus Silas Young. Months of issues between Young and King. They've traded the TV title. Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonez have attacked Kenny King a handful of times. This led to Kenny King wanting to beat Silas Young in his own match, the last man standing match. King wants no questions about who the champ is when it's all said and done. A video package airs, and then Austin Aries comes out. Five belts in tow, the belt collector. He wants that Ring of Honor TV title next, so he's joining Ian and Colt on commentary. This should be fun, as Aries is great on the mic. Silas Young out first, trash cans in tow. No sign of Bruiser or Malonez, though. Silas Young is immediately setting up a table on the outside of the ring. No screwing around from him, straight to the point. Kenny King's out next, hyping up the crowd. He's looking ready to go. They're squaring off with punches to start, straight to the point between these two. Huge swing out backbreaker from Kenny King. Great show of strength. King gets Young in a last chancery early here. Kind of a call out to Austin Aries over on commentary. Definitely a nice spot. Out of nowhere, Silas Young picks King up and dumps him on the outside through that table. Great surprise spot there. Didn't see that coming. That gets an 8 count from Todd Sinclair, but Kenny King's able to get to his feet. Of course, just to clarify, in a last man standing match, it's whenever a competitor is down for 10 seconds, as opposed to a 3 count pinfall or submission. So yeah, so you're looking for the competitor to be on his back or on his stomach for 10 seconds. The two men are now on the top rope. Kenny King gets Silas up and then drops him for a sidewalk slam onto that top turnbuckle. That doesn't let up. He's going strong on Silas on the outside now with a blockbuster. 8 count before Silas is up to his feet, though. Silas Young hits Misery to King on the apron, now dominating inside the ring with a chair and garbage cans, but Kenny King hits that royal flush onto the can and regains momentum. Kenny King is about to jump on Silas onto a table outside when the Beer City Bruiser comes down. King fights him off at the trash can, though, but this allows Silas to regain the upper hand. King gets Young back on that table outside the ring, though. Kenny King then hits a huge shooting star press from the top to the outside through the table. Silas Young is down. What an amazing shooting star press that was. If you haven't seen it, do check it out. I'm sure there's got to be GIFs of it somewhere because that was incredible. Kenny King now trying to get to his feet, but he can't. Turns out someone, and that someone being the Beer City Bruiser, was under the ring and tied his feet together. So Silas Young somehow manages to get back to his feet for the victory here. Silas Young wins back the TV title, becoming the fourth man to hold that belt 2 times. New champion in a great match here. King hits that amazing shooting star press and then loses, which is absolutely astounding. Beer City Bruiser, of course, under the ring, tying up Kenny's feet. Like I said, Aries is now coming down from commentary. He hits a suicide dive onto Young and Bruiser on the outside, and he's got a chair, posing with the TV title, then tosses it to Young as Young and Bruiser scurry off. The crowd chants bullshit as Kenny King gets to his feet finally. I'm not sure that this is the last we've seen of Silas Young and Kenny King. I really thought that this was going to be the last match between them, but something tells me that it's not. Bruiser's involvement definitely didn't feel like a definitive end to this feud. But we'll keep moving along here. Cheeseburger and Eli Isom versus the Dogs. This match kind of out of nowhere. This wasn't on the card, so I wasn't expecting this. Cheeseburger and Isom out first. The Dogs come running down and attack them before their entrance and the bell. Good heel stuff there from the Dogs by coming down early. That prompts Bully Ray to come out. Isom can't compete, Bully says, so Cheeseburger's either going to have to find a new partner or just let this match get canceled. Cheeseburger wants Bully to be his partner, and the crowd likes his idea. They're really milking this one, taking their time to get it going, which was kind of irritating just because it's such a long, long show. And they're really milking this one, trying to get the crowd hype for Bully Ray to get involved in this match. But finally, Bully's going to oblige, and the bell rings. Bully Ray taking it to Rhett Titus, and Cheeseburger doing the same to Will Ferreira. Cheeseburger hits a huge shote, followed up with a classic what's up diving headbutt. And then Bully Ray tells Cheeseburger to get the tables. But right after that, Bully Ray hits Cheeseburger with a huge choke slam. The entire demeanor of Bully Ray has shifted. The crowd does not know how to react. Bully Ray grabs the mic and asks Cheeseburger who the hell he thinks he is. He can't believe that Cheeseburger would put him on the spot like that, asking him to be his Cheeseburger's partner. He's going on this old-timer rant, talking smack about the new generation in general, calling out Flip Gordon, Will Ospreay, Ricochet, everyone involved here. That prompts Flip Gordon to come on down to the ring. He's on the apron trying to help out Cheeseburger, but Bully has Cheeseburger geared up for a pile driver. He's threatening Flip. If he enters the ring, Cheeseburger is getting this pile driver. Bully has effectively taken the show hostage here. He's got that WWE Hall of Fame ring on now. He's claiming he's better than everybody. He's better than ROH. He delivers a powerbomb to Cheeseburger and then skates off up the entrance ramp to the back. The payoff was nice here. It's a nice heel turn for Bully Ray. Did not see that coming, and I definitely get that they wanted to do that on the big show. However, this segment was incredibly drawn out. It was way too long. They definitely could have shortened it up. But yeah, in the end, the payoff, I would say it's worth it just to see the turn, but, you know, they definitely could have shortened it. So we'll get to it. We've got our two main events here. First up is Cody versus Kenny Omega. The Bullet Club is being torn apart by these two. Cody and Kenny can't get along. They can't decide who the leader of the Bullet Club is. This match is going to hopefully tie this feud up, decide who the real leader of the Bullet Club is. Cody's out first. Very cool ring gear, complete with an eye patch. He's got Brandy and Bernard the Business Bear with him. Some security as well as he makes his way down to the ring. It's all very showy, very fitting for Cody's larger-than-life kind of mastermind supervillain gimmick. Kenny Omega's out next. Huge reaction from the live crowd. He's fixated on Cody, looking very, very confident. Crowd is chanting for Omega as this match opens up. Now, once these two get going, it's kind of fast-paced. Cody rolls to the outside. Kenny goes for the Rise of the Terminator dive, but Bernard grabs his leg, preventing the dive. Kenny recoups quickly and then drop kicks Bernard on the outside. Off the distraction, Cody hits a suicide dive onto Kenny, and Bernard is tossed to the back by the referee. The action spills back into the ring. Cody's dominating now in the ring. Big strikes, big throws. Maybe a little too much showboating from Cody. This allows Kenny to come back into the fight. Cody locks in the American Deathlock. Kenny gets to the ropes, though. Brandy on the outside smacks Kenny Omega while the referee's back is turned. Cody hits Kenny with a low blow kick off another distraction to the referee. Kenny's finally able to get that Rise of the Terminator dive onto Cody on the outside. The action's definitely going back and forth here. Back in the ring, Kenny gets a variation of the V-trigger, then a Snapdragon suplex, then another. No pinfall attempt here, though. I think that might have been a mistake from Kenny. He may have been able to finish that one off early with that series of moves. Cody eventually fights back with a disaster kick, two count only. Cody's definitely playing it smarter here. He's going for the pinfalls while Kenny is just bringing the heat, not really trying to end the match, I would say. Cody on the outside, pulling a table out from under the ring, tries to hit Kenny with a crossroads off the apron through the table, but Kenny blocks it. Cody then tries for a pile driver. Kenny blocks it. Kenny then hits a Snapdragon suplex onto the apron, sending Cody to the outside, however, not through the table. Cody hits a huge Alabama slam in the ring, long two count. Kenny looks very worn down here at this point in the match. Cody hits a Snapdragon suplex, kind of calling out Kenny's trademark move. Looks to follow it up, but then Kenny counters with another V-trigger. Brandy's on the apron, trying to distract the referee or anybody, really. Kenny lines Cody up for a V-trigger, but Cody ducks out of the way. Kenny catches Brandy and sends her to the outside through that table off the apron. Kenny goes outside immediately to check Brandy here while Cody seems unfazed. No one's even sure if he even noticed his wife going through that table. Cody hits a crossroads on Kenny when he gets back in the ring, but it is not enough. Only a two count. This match is not coming to a close here. Interesting development as Flip Gordon comes down to the ring and helps Brandy Rhodes to the back. Again, Cody doesn't even notice this. Cody hits a massive superplex, then tries for a moonsault, but Kenny moves out of the way. Kenny hitting a series of huge knees follows that up with a massive V-trigger. Two count only, though. This match just won't quit. It is wild. Doesn't let up. Going for a one-winged angel. Cody counters for a vertebraker. Haven't seen that move in a long time. Definitely cool to see here. Two count only. Unreal. This match just won't end. Paul Turner, the referee, eventually gets knocked out. Young Bucks come down to the entrance ramp. All three men, Kenny, Cody, and the ref, are down in the ring. Nick and Matt Jackson in the ring now. Cody and Kenny slowly to their feet. They try to super kick Cody, but he ducks and they catch Kenny Omega. Cody hits a huge crossroads. Very slow three count from Paul Turner. Cody picks up the win. The Bucks look on devastated, having just cost Kenny this match. Bucks consoling Kenny in the ring after as Cody celebrates. Kenny isn't happy, though. He ends up pushing Matt Jackson away and then is helped to the back by Ring of Honor staff. This was an absolutely spectacular match. Great action. Great charisma from the two competitors. Great storytelling between Cody and Kenny. Getting Brandy, Flip, and the Young Bucks all involved. Just really masterful stuff. A lot of storylines advanced, but not too many questions are answered, which was really surprising to me. I definitely kind of expected this one to kind of tie up some loose ends. Who was going to be the leader of Bullet Club? But it doesn't. This definitely was not the end. I think that was expected by everybody. So Cody wins and I guess is now the leader of Bullet Club. I'm not sure. The Bucks don't seem happy about it. And Kenny's obviously upset. So we'll see where this goes. I suspect maybe we'll get some stuff on being the elite and then maybe some stuff on the Ring of Honor TV episodes. But this might have to spill over to the next Ring of Honor event, which actually I think is next week, the next Ring of Honor event. If I check that real quick here, I think that Ring of Honor is having a live event next Friday, or no, excuse me, maybe Sunday. Yep, Sunday, April 15th. So this upcoming Sunday, there is the Master of the Craft event from Ring of Honor. So you're going to see, maybe see some storylines develop there. Cody's already announced to fight Matt Taven in a First Blood match. So it's kind of tying up that storyline as opposed to any of the Bullet Club stuff. But maybe we'll see some interferences. You never know. Back to Kenny versus Cody at Supercard of Honor. Great match. Definitely met expectations. Great storytelling. Definitely worth checking out if you're at all interested in what's going on with the Bullet Club. There's still more to be told here with this story and with everyone involved. So we'll get on to the last match, the second half of the two main events, the ROH Championship being defended by Dalton Castle as he takes on Marty Scurll. I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that this one's going on last, just with the buzz of everything and all the storylines that was going on with Cody versus Kenny. I kind of thought that would be the true headliner, but very well-deserved championship match goes on last. You know, Dalton Castle and Marty Scurll obviously are going to put on a fantastic contest, and it's for the championship, which... definitely, I think, should be defended last. So Marty Scurll's out first, all gold attire. He's looking like $1 million here, honestly. The crowd isn't fatigued from that previous match as they could be expected to be, I guess, fatigued. They're still hyped to see Marty even after 4.5 hours of contest. Dalton Castle out next, the champion, with a magnificent entrance. He's looking confident. The boys are by his side as well. We'll see how they factor into this. All of the pomp and circumstance for Dalton Castle, a true champion here, and he very much looks the part. Just a quick note, something I want to point out. I love how Ian and Colt sell Todd Sinclair as the best referee in wrestling. It's just a nice small additional touch to really make the viewer feel like the match is in good hands. I would love to see other promotions kind of do that more as well, or at least just get give the referees more personality, maybe. Yeah, I think what Ring of Honor does here by selling Todd Sinclair, and he very well might be the best referee in all of professional wrestling. So Dalton and Marty testing strength to start this match off. Chain wrestling, both men very seasoned in this department. Marty with his British training, of course, and then Dalton, a fantastic amateur wrestler. Some heel antics for Marty to get the crowd lively. That's pretty smart. Even Dalton has to smile to that. And then Dalton eventually returns the favor with a comical middle finger to Marty. Match finally gets physical, though. Strikes on the ground, back and forth. Match spills to the outside. Dalton inadvertently runs into the ring post. And then back in the ring, Marty maintains control, I should say. Marty is grinding down on Dalton, manipulating limbs in all sorts of directions. This match has a very drawn-out feel to it, a slow build, I'd say. These two aren't necessarily flashy in their moveset. They're more flashy in their characters. So it's just this natural charisma from the two men, and that's what's really driving the match here. Cool spot as Marty is draped over the top turnbuckle and Dalton Castle runs along the apron and hits a big knee, sending both men to the outside. Marty counters the first bangarang attempt in the ring into a roll-up. No dice, though. These men are starting to quicken up the pace a bit. Bigger strikes, and the crowd is getting pretty split between Marty and Dalton. Big superplex from Marty. Your dead super kick from the apron to Castle on the outside connects. Marty is taking back the momentum. On the outside, Marty hits a back body drop on Castle onto the ramp steps, which looked pretty brutal. Dalton Castle landing awkwardly on his shoulder. Marty going after Dalton Castle's bad shoulder now. Ghostbuster from Marty Scurll. Two count only, though. Nick Aldis, a professional wrestler, I think NWA champion, is at ringside. And he appears to hand Marty a foreign object. Todd Sinclair does not see it. And then Marty uses the clippers that Aldis handed him to take off the top turnbuckle pad. Dalton fighting back with his good arm, nice clothesline, great deadlift German onto Marty, and then Marty regains control, goes to the outside and is looking around the ring, can't quite find what he's looking for. We're thinking it's the powder, though. Dalton comes outside and attacks Marty, but Marty eventually finds that powder, and as he goes to use it, it backfires, gets blown back in his own face. He can't see, and because he can't see, he actually attacks Todd Sinclair on accident, snapping Todd's fingers. Bangarang to Marty from Dalton Castle, but Todd's fingers are hurt so bad that he can't make the count. It's kind of ridiculous, but I definitely love it. Todd rolls to the outside as the boys fan him off, and Marty catches Dalton with the umbrella, cracking the boys now too with that umbrella as Todd Sinclair goes to the back. Brainbuster, but no referee, no one to count for Marty Skrull. Paul Turner now is finally out to the ring. He counts a two count, but since there was such a delay, I think it definitely helped Dalton Castle kick out here. Marty calling for the chicken wing, but Dalton hits that peacock pose, and Marty is stopped dead in his tracks. They're going back and forth. Marty gets the chicken wing. Dalton powers out almost, but then Marty locks it back in. Marty lets it go in favor of grabbing the fingers of Dalton to prevent him from getting to the rope. Marty now stomping on the back of Dalton's head. Absolutely vicious here. But Dalton hits the bangarang out of nowhere. Three count follows, and Dalton Castle retains the title at Supercard of Honor. That match definitely really picked up in the second half, and it became a very fun affair. The slow build definitely helped, I think. It definitely made that kind of culmination of the match feel larger than life. No shenanigans to end the show, just Dalton Castle celebrating as he retains that Ring of Honor championship. And that brings the show to a close here. So Supercard of Honor coming to a close. Really great show overall. Maybe it was a little bit too long, but it's WrestleMania weekend. It's more than Mania weekend. It's Supercard weekend. I think it's damn near all right for these shows to go on a little bit longer than usual. But yeah, watching all 5 hours was a little bit taxing. I did do it in parts since I didn't watch this live. They maybe could have cut the Bully Ray and Cheeseburger segment. I get why they wanted that to go on in the main show. Definitely a huge storyline development, but it was pretty damn short, or pretty damn long, I should say. Definitely drawn out. I mean, otherwise it's a stacked card, so there's really, I didn't really think any of the matches could be cut from the card. There's no match disappointed here. Everything met or surpassed expectations. So it was just a lot of fun. It's a great show. If you do have the time to watch it, or at least pick out a couple matches from it, I would suggest watching Cody versus Kenny and watching Castle versus Skrull for the title, obviously. And then the other big match from the night, I think, was that six-man ladder match. And then there's Kota and Hangman Page as well. Maybe there's just too much. You got to watch the whole damn thing. Who am I kidding? Get Honor Club. Watch the whole thing. Enjoy it. It was a great show, and you should be supporting professional wrestling. That's where we're going at with this one, I think. Support professional wrestling, especially indie wrestling. Do what you can to help out. All right, so what else is on the docket here? Because that's going to bring our Ring of Honor coverage to a close. So what's up next? Hopefully going to have a podcast up Friday covering the two Evolve shows from the More Than Mania weekend. I think that's where we'll go next since the Progress shows have not been uploaded yet. I guess those will probably be coming over the weekend. Normally it takes about a week for those guys to get them up. So we'll cover those next week. I want to do obviously Mercury Rising as well, as that's kind of the big main event show for WWN. So we'll do that. From what I saw, the spoilers and stuff that I saw from Evolve, definitely a lot of very cool moments going on with the crossover between Evolve and Progress competitors. So this one should be fun. I'm looking forward to covering that as well. So that'll bring this podcast to a close. It's getting a little long here, so I want to cut it short. Tweet at me. Let me know what you thought of Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor 12 from this past Saturday. Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Why did you dislike it if you did? Because that would make no sense to me. The card was electric. So many great matches. No one disappointed in my mind. But I'm curious to see what you guys think. So let me know on Twitter. Or let me know on emails. Again, on Twitter, I'm at StageDWrestling. You can shoot me an email, stagedivewrestling@gmail.com. Of course, you can check my podcast out on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and on The Chair Shot. Hashtag use your head, hashtag heel turn. Tweet at me, let me know what you think. Check out the other podcasts on The Chair Shot because they are covering all of your WrestleMania needs and your pretty much all your needs for wrestling from this past weekend. I'll get that Evolve podcast up later this week. As always, Monty Cliff signing off. Thanks for nothing, you punks. Heel turn.